Hello and welcome to Movie Theater Time Machine. Well, I'm really, really happy because we finally get to revisit my favorite show, the greatest TV show of all time, MASH, starring Alan Alda, Wayne Rogers, Loretta Swit.
Oh man,
Jamie Farr too.
No, wait.
No, the
record watch the movie.
The first one.
The movie.
Oh. The less good one.
Yeah, this is MASH, the movie starring Donald Sutherland, Elliot Gould, Tom Skerritt, Sally Kellerman, Robert Duvall, Roger Bowman, and Renee Arbogast.
Which he's very young. Oh my God, he's so young.
He hadn't matured into his Odo voice yet.
Yeah.
It threw me way off.
He's such a baby.
You put that in the text shed. Who is he?
Rene Auberjonois, he's Odo from Deep Space Nine.
Oh.
And the voice of House from Fallout New Vegas.
Yes, he was Mr. House in Fallout New Vegas.
He's been in a ton of things.
Yeah.
So many things. He was in Warehouse 13.
And here's a bit of a deep cut. He played Janos Audrin in the Blood Omen series on the original PlayStation.
Interesting.
Dang. So, all right, so this movie itself.
What year?
MASH was
1970.
And
should we go over our familiarity?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I never saw the movie, although I knew a little bit about it, and that it was kind of disjointed.
Yeah.
And I loved the TV show.
Yeah.
So yeah, I knew the show. I knew there was a movie, but till like day before yesterday, I hadn't seen it.
Yeah. I knew there was a show. I watched the show, like, bits and pieces with my dad when my parents were still together, but I never really watched it beyond that.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know there was a movie until we looked it up and we're like, oh, this was a movie?
It's based on a book.
Yeah, it's based on a book.
Based on the book, based on the book in general that was the MASH, a novel about three army doctors.
Legitly, like, the beginning of the movie, I said this in chat, is the writer of this book, at least at the very, very beginning of the movie,
Richard,
it's like,
Rucker.
Tell me you have ADHD without telling me you have ADHD.
Now,
it was all over the goddamn place.
I thought it was Robert Altman. He was the director. Right?
Robert Altman is the reason why it is that way, because his style at the time when he did that, because...
Wasn't it fresh and new?
It was fresh, and then everybody was on drugs.
Yeah.
And everybody freaking the fuck out.
What? And they would all talking over each other.
Yes. I couldn't understand what the fuck was going on. It got better later.
Because what he did was he did a lot of shots, and if you notice, there's, like, unlike the show, a lot of shots are very cropped.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are very cropped in, because he's using long-range cameras, and he's filming when they don't know they're being filmed.
Okay.
Because when he started filming them, everybody, especially like Donald Sutherland and Elliot Gould, who were, you know, in the beginning scene where he steals a Jeep,
mm-hmm.
in order to get there and do that, I think they were drunk or they're on cocaine or something.
Oh, God, they must have been.
Yeah. Like, they're on there and they do that. They put the camera up front and Donald Sutherland got very paranoid. So, you know, others who did that, like in the mess tent scenes where they were all kind of just wobbling and wondering, okay, what's going on? They shot from far away and then they acted better. So they said, all right, we're gonna do this. And
it was the 70s,
coming
out of the 60s.
Yeah,
I feel so bad for the caption writer, for those goddamn beginning scenes. Oh, and I like when there's like a Japanese song playing and it's like singing in Japanese, and then suddenly Shoeshine Boy and then singing in Japanese.
It's like that now, though. That hasn't changed.
I know, it is still kind of amazing.
Honest to God, that has not changed at all.
Yeah. And
it's pretty good.
Yeah. And for me, if you go all the way back to episode 33, where we did MASH the series finale movie.
Which was kind of movie-length.
We did this with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And
saw the movie but did not care for it.
Yeah, he despised this movie.
I can kind of understand why, honestly.
Still to this day, he despises it.
I will admit, I am not a fan.
No,
like I love the show.
Yeah,
this movie.
Yeah,
this movie makes a lot of characters way more problematic.
This movie is a couple of assholes being dickheads for no good reason.
Well, no, I I understand the reason why some of them are upset to be there.
Yep.
They've been drafted. They're doctors. Mm-hmm. They've been drafted into this war. They do not want to be there. They have to be there. So they're just going to... But they're still going to do their job as doctors. But every scene that you see, they're still doing their job to the utmost capability, except for Frank. But they're all doing their job exceptionally the way they have to with the tools and everything that they have available. They are doing their job. So as doctors, they're fantastic. As people, they're angry and bitter and
horny.
Horny.
Everybody's...
Okay, and here's the thing. If you're actually 3 miles from the front lines, your life is in danger at all times.
Yep.
One of the reactions to having constant danger is like a heightened sex drive. Because it's like you want to feel alive. I get that. I do.
They do better than the TV show after.
These guys are sex criminals.
What they do
to Houlihan is...
That is
a fucking crime.
Yeah.
And nothing happens because Blake's an asshole too.
That's how season one of the show was. Season one's uncomfortable.
Season one was almost canceled.
Yeah, I was going to say, season one did not do well at all. No. In fact, they had to re-release...
They re-released this movie in
order to up the ratings of the TV show.
And it was saved because the wife of the head of CBS liked the show and asked him to keep it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason it stayed. They listened, they got it, and they had it moved. The time slot was moved, and they just got better
It got better, and the show got better as well.
Oh, yeah.
Now, one of the things that is very, very different from the show, well, there's many things, but also, like, the show was created by CBS because they did this movie, the sets were still around, and the network asked them somebody to use these sets. Can you find some way to use it? That's why you see it in the TV show versus the movie.
Sure.
Things look very similar.
Because they are.
It's the exact same camp. It's the exact same camp itself.
It's the camp, it's the swamp, it's, you know, but you're absolutely right, what happened is
there were the book that this is based on, they use that in the show, how they based their storylines on with Burt Metcalf and Gene Reynolds. Used stories that they had from the war.
Right.
So Jamie Farr, who played Klinger, and Alan Alda, who played Hawkeye.
The one true Hawkeye, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Now, with them, they were both in Korea.
Sure.
They were there. They were both gunner. One of them was a gunner, and another was a foot soldier. They use their stories and then gain stories from soldiers in order to make it appear more real and it had more heart.
When they aired it on the finale on MeTV, wasn't there kind of a special with them talking about behind the scenes?
Yeah.
I just remember them talking about it was the...
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. That's... Okay. Now, I have never seen the finale. I have not. I know what happens because of cultural osmosis and things like that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Family Guy.
Not even Family Guy. No, it's like one of those, like, you know how YouTube has like those Mojo, like top whatever list, whatever.
Yeah.
It was like, I think on one of the top most traumatic moments of television. Yeah.
Right.
And that was like one of
them.
So I know of it because of that. I've seen it because of that.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, but it's not surprising.
Right.
What is a little surprising is that it happened. As much as it did? So late.
Oh.
I know that stuff like that happened in like World War II.
Right.
And things like that, because especially when you're trying to get people that were in like prison camps or Jews, they were trying to get them out. I know that things like that happened. They had to in order to save multiple people. Babies make a lot of noise.
Yep.
Like, it's, I'm sorry, it's terrible, and it's horrifying. But the fact that it happened so late, because this happened, what, the 50s? Is the Korean War?
50 to 53, yeah.
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 And the show lasted 11
years.
Yeah, 11 years. Yeah,
the show lasted longer than the actual Korean War.
72 to 83, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the...
I just have to say, Family Guy ruined that whole it's a baby thing, because I didn't know what they were referencing, and I just know it was the hilarious fat camp with... I was reaching into a bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
It was a baby. Yeah. And so when I saw that scene, I'm just like, all I can think of is Family Guy. I'm like, oh my God,
Gracia.
I'm actually
okay, because my
drama was all lost.
The way my sense of humor is,
yep,
I'm perfectly fine with this.
Well, I was never going to see this from a dramatic perspective because Family Guy.
I guess Family Guy was my first exposure.
Yeah,
I'll say I fully agree with the with the Futurama joke about
how the maudlin switch.
The maudlin switch, like
he just
like
the robot.
Ka-tunk, and like he's like in the show, he switches from just utterly depressed to, it's funny, he's at the secret void, with an audible clunk.
He does, yeah.
But we should probably talk about the movie, but it's impossible to talk about the movie without talking about the show. Yeah,
and you're right. I mean, there's a bit that I'm going to play later on, I think, before we go to fantasy casting, which honestly, for me,
fantasy casting, it's the show match.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be blatantly obvious. I'm like Alan Alda, Loretta
Swift. Yeah, there we go. You know, boom, 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 boom. Colonel Potter in there.
That's the fantasy casting that we have.
Yeah. Colonel Potter was best best Potter, Colonel.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you.
And I like Charles Emerson Winchester the third better than Ferret Face.
I love that. There are several episodes of his that absolutely are my favorites. That when he helps the piano player who can't move his right hand. Not the reason.
I thought it was left.
But you know what he did when he can't move it, so he teaches him one handed pieces, and then when he has the
soldier, he was the one who accidentally fucked up his hand.
Yeah, and the soldier that stutters.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and others, and there are so many of them that are great, but this
he's a
one
complex character.
The difference with this movie, like right off the rip, that I noticed was Henry Blake. Henry Blake in the show was the unwilling leader of the group.
Mm-hmm.
He went through it, he got drafted, and he ended up being the colonel, and he didn't want to be.
Yeah.
And then you have this one who is the army career man who is as stiff as a board, who looks more like Dennis the Menace's father, more than an actual Colonel Blake himself, who they took.
Give him a fishing hat. That's what it is,
and they took bits from, you know, physically, they took Donald Sutherland's Hawkeye. And, you know, put some things on there because you see McLean Stevenson's walking around as Colonel Blake with the fishing hat and everything. Like, he doesn't want to do this.
Yeah. No.
He doesn't want to. He just wants to do his time. He's like, okay, got to do it. Get in, get out.
It's like when he's making the fishing lures, at first I'm like, that's the strangest suture I've ever seen. Because of the way the movie cut.
I was like,
might have been because they were, you know, in an operating room, and then suddenly there's this guy making a fishing lure, and I'm like, what is happening here?
At that point in the movie, I'm so used to the show, I was trying to figure out whose faces belong to which characters.
It was to me at the very
that
beginning.
Was
it was
me as
impossible.
Well.
Yeah, especially Hawkeye. He just looks and he sounds and he acts nothing.
It's
wrong. Like
it's just wrong.
TV Hawkeye.
Yeah.
The one true Hawkeye.
Yeah. Now there is a few
the voices
things.
Just the voices just threw me so bad.
That and Tom Skerritt's character is not in the show at all.
No,
like,
no.
He does
not
exist.
He does not exist.
They make. I think it's funny. They do make mention of him.
Yep.
See, Trapper's
surgeon? Yeah, we sent him home.
Yeah.
Because Tom Skerritt was actually offered the role of Duke and turned it down.
Right.
Because he didn't think that a comedic show, with this type of setting, was going to work.
He did. Yeah. There were a lot of naysayers, and there was a lot of kickback.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of luck that got it there, but also one of the things that got it was, and right off the rip, what really helped was Alan Alda.
Mm. Oh, God,
you know, Alan Alda.
So charismatic.
Alan Alda got it. Like, he was the right person at the right time. There's two things that separate the show from the movie right off
Klinger?
The rip. No, not that.
I'll
get to Klinger in a second. Yeah. But
Father Mulcahy doesn't have glasses in the movie?
No, it's the names. No. Hawkeye Pierce, you know, when Alan Alda signed on, he says, we got to give him a reason why he was named Hawkeye so he has a link back home.
Fair enough.
So, you know, how, you know, my father named me after the only book he ever read, Last of the Mohegans. He nicknamed me Hawkeye. So he became Benjamin Franklin Pierce, And AKA Hawkeye. Yeah, and you know, it was known, it insisted to be known as Hawkeye, so he separated himself.
That was when, okay, my dad had a nickname growing up. Yeah. Now, my father's name was Joseph.
Yeah.
No one called him Joe. Mm. No one called him Joseph. Everybody called my dad Chuck.
Yeah.
Because my dad, when he was a little kid, used to like to chew on furniture. This is the God's honest truth. My dad used to like to chew on the furniture when he was like a baby. I don't know if he was teething or whatever else, but my dad was the oldest and first child.
Really?
So, yes. So my grandfather nicknamed him Woodchuck. Because he liked to chew on the wooden furniture. Okay. And that just went down to Chuck.
Yeah.
So everybody called it stuck.
Yeah.
So everybody called my dad Chuck. If you knew my dad and you were friends with him, you called him Chuck. If you weren't that close with him, you called him Joe.
Wow.
And that's just how it was. So that right there, having Hawkeye be like a nickname, something that his dad gave him, whatever. Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that was his only thing that he had. And then, you know, there was also the show Bible really waved quite a bit over the years. Different time. Right. But also Radar O'Reilly did not become Walter for many years.
And it was many years before he got his teddy bear?
Yeah.
It was the second season.
It was
a different Radar, man.
It was a very, very, very different Radar. And it is Gary Berghoff.
Mm-hmm.
When he signed on to it, he says, no. He says, this is the one that you got to represent. And it was Alan Alda, Gene Reynolds, and Vern Metcalf, who all had the idea that that character should be representative of the person who was drafted and needs screw up.
Yeah.
And Radar got into the army because he needed to see something different.
Radar was my favorite, like legitimately my favorite character.
Oh, yeah.
So I loved him.
Yeah.
Because to me, anyway, he was just kind of the voice of innocence throughout the whole thing.
Agreed.
You know, he was.
You know, there's a MASH reference in Sesame Street, right?
Is there? What?
Big Bird's teddy bear is named Radar.
Yeah. That's so cute.
Okay, so, all right. But Radar was always like he's the one. Now, granted, I watched this when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, probably not the best thing to be watching when you're a kid. But, so Radar was always like my favorite.
Yeah.
Because you kind of want to poke his cheeks because he's got those puffy little cheeks. You just kind of want to
I agree with you.
Even though wasn't he going bald?
But absolutely.
Which is why he had the cap.
Yeah, the hat was load-bearing by that point.
But he had such a baby face. I just wanted to poke him.
Yeah. Which is why Gary Berghoff also left the series after a while.
Really?
Because he was just tired and he said, I wanted it in the sixth or seventh season, he's only there on a few episodes.
Yeah, he's upset.
So, you know, where he started to fade off and because he just didn't want to do it anymore.
It's understandable.
The character never aged.
He's also a typecast. Yeah, so.
Exactly. That's it. And the last episode that he's in, he doesn't wear his hat and he looks older.
Which
dramatically older.
And War's going to do that to him.
Yeah.
That would have been something they could have written into the show, too, that he's losing his hair because of stress from the war. That would have made a lot of sense.
But they did a little thing like, you know, what carried over, but then McClane.
The
with
Radar left.
Yeah. When McClane Stevenson, who played Colonel Henry Blake in the show, and Gary Berghoff, really refined something in this movie that really got there was the fact that Radar could pick up what's going on and start talking over it.
Mm-hmm.
And McClane Stevenson and Gary Berghoff would try to practice the lines and then get it so quick, because you see some things in the movie, I'm sorry, in the show, where they do it so fast and so quick there that they're just sitting there and you can see Henry Blake looking, going, yeah, do that.
What he said.
Yeah, it just has that, but they really emphasize the fact that Radar really runs the outfit.
Yeah.
He really runs the show because he knows what to do.
And then Klinger really has to pick up the slack.
Klinger has to do it. And, I mean, there is, later on in this episode, what I want to play is one of my favorite bits from the show, and I will play it because using fair use. Just to show how the comedy in the show worked more than this.
Oh, God, yeah.
This whole podcast is like, why do we like the TV show better?
But really, yeah.
I think so, because honestly, most of the
why the TV show was better.
Yeah. Most of the comedy in this, and I'm using that word kind of loosely, was just bad men being bad.
There was only one point in this movie that, and honestly, this movie, it's one of the first movies to ever actually have me clapping.
Yeah,
was when Trapper punches Frank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when he punches him, I literally just went.
I Shia LaBeouf this thing.
I was like, yes!
And I will say the show did it better.
Did it?
They did it better. Yeah.
So was Frank always like a religious nut praying really loudly in the show?
No.
Or was he more just a tweener who was a stickler
for the rules? It was like he's a stickler for the rules who...
Like Houlihan.
Yeah. But it was the... Like Houlihan, yes, but there's... Houlihan wouldn't turn to another doctor and say, you weren't fast enough, you killed this patient.
Right.
I was like, go fuck yourself. Yeah.
Now, in the show where they did it, they're in the post-op OR, and they're cleaning up and watching it, and Hawkeye decks Frank.
Hawkeye does it.
Yeah, Hawkeye, yeah.
Frank say the same thing to
him? Yeah, it was something similar. I can't quite remember exactly what it is. Like, I've seen the show about somewhere between 30 and 40 times through all the way.
And it's hard to keep track of exactly what what episode, what specifically happened.
Now,
I mean, doesn't the show struggle to do that sometimes?
Yeah. Hawkeye decks Frank, and the excuse was, oh, he slipped on a bar of soap. You know.
Yeah, face first.
But then, face first on a bar of soap, knuckle-wise. I tried to say him, but you punch him in the face?
That scene right there, though, it kind of shows just, like, a lot of the misogyny in this, too.
Yep.
Because you see him punch another, you see one doctor punch another doctor, instantly got arrested.
Yep.
A bunch of guys literally sexually harass a nurse by making her completely naked in front of the entire unit. And the other she nurses, gets yelled
the
at
other
for
nurses did not help her.
Not for they do, but it takes them a minute. Like they sit back and watch for a minute, and then they
wait,
rush forward.
Wait, when did Houlihan get yelled at for that? I just
she
remember
runs,
screaming at.
She runs to Blake
and Blake's in bed
with another nurse,
and he tells her.
And he's like, "Fine then, quit."
Yeah,
I'll resign my commission.
So he's like, "Well, fine then, resign your own commission. Like, I'm not going to help you."
Yell at her, but he was a jerk.
Because Blake's an asshole too.
Everybody is really, but later on when I do that, I will show exactly the right thing. There's a clip on YouTube. It's called Klinger Excuses. And
I love Klinger.
Klinger is exclusive to the show. Yes.
Now it's a 2-minute bit, but I will play it on fair use because it shows exactly why. I think you know exactly which one it is, Fox.
Yeah, I heard you listening to it earlier.
It's just great. It's just great. But Jamie Farr himself was only supposed to be in one episode.
I know.
He was only there, and that character, even though he's kind of problematic too.
Oh, very.
He was supposed to be like a one-off joke.
Yeah, but it was just there. It kept going and kept going, and he got so many laughs in that episode. You know, and the joke was when he went up to the general and he was on guard duty and he's completely naked with a gun. You know, and then Alan Alda and Wayne Rogers as Hawkeye and Trapper. So, come on, Claire, you have some decency. At least put on a slip.
Wait, he wasn't naked. He was just in a dress.
No. That bit, he was totally naked. He just had a gun and his hat on.
Oh.
So he at least put on a slip.
Well, you know the song, you can leave your hat on.
Right. and you know, also, with this, before we get into it, one other bit of trivia thing that I noticed is you mentioned the Japanese songs playing and stuff, and I think you, Kez, mentioned it that he said that I was like, how does everybody know a song?
Oh, that wasn't the Japanese song. That was like Christian Soldier.
But two separate songs. This is also the same songs. This is also representative of an extreme monoculture of the 1950s.
Yeah, everybody was Christian. Everybody went to church.
Mostly everybody was Christian, but there's a difference, though.
Mm.
The announcer mentioned Yom Kippur.
Christianity was exposed more.
Yes.
On the monoculture. Yeah. People who were high up, who who control what went on the radio, what went on the brand new thing called TV.
Oh, absolutely.
That was really where the control was, so that stuff came about more.
You're saying that like it's not still that way.
True. Yeah,
this
true.
This is why Spotify those and people, everything else.
There's people flipping out about the Trans Day of Visibility being on Easter. It's just like,
Easter working. You're
the one happened. Who changed Easter. Trans Day of Visibility has been on the 31st.
Don't even get me started.
4 years.
It's also my birthday. But don't even get me started on Easter, because Easter... The way they celebrate Easter is so pagan.
Right?
It's a lunar-based holiday.
It's a lunar-based holiday! Like, okay, I'm gonna shut up.
And anyway. We're talking about a zombie Jew.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, a what?
Yeah, no.
Oh, God. We were talking about a movie. One part about this movie, though, kind of arcing back into it.
Sure.
There were multiple dogs.
Oh, yeah.
But that's also because they eat dogs in Korea. But
this was a pet dog.
This was a pet, but do you think he brought that dog home?
No,
he didn't, but I mean...
That's because that dog is going to stay there hanging around, and then once it gets older, they will probably use it for food.
It's an American base.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's in Korea.
Yeah. eventually when everybody packs up
and
the
goes
army,
away, they're not going to bring the dogs with them. The dogs are on their own. But so the dogs are either going to die off or be used as food.
But historically, the GIs also left behind a lot of spam, and that's what brought about army-based stew or Budai Jjigae.
Yeah, Budai Jjigae is a thing. But no, going back to the religious aspect of it, the one part I did actually appreciate, and I think it's because of being me, is the whole, you had the kind of divide in the camp when it came to the religion. Because you had Frank, who was this, like, it praying all the time.
And
everything else.
Keeping Hawkeye from going to sleep.
And then you had Hawkeye and everybody else, essentially, that we focus on, who are not very religious. They kind of make the jokes about the fact that there's so much religion, but they don't really mess with the chaplain that much.
No.
Because the chaplain doesn't get preachy with them.
Exactly.
Like
he's
Frank
not
does.
Super, super preachy about it. But you do see this divide between people, certain people in the camp. You have the people who are very religious,
I agree with you. Yeah.
And you have the people who are not.
Yeah,
I thought Frank was the only character besides Mulcahy.
Everybody else who's singing the Christian soldier song.
Yeah,
Why? I thought they were just making fun of.
No, they started a procession.
Yeah.
Because
that's what I meant before, because everybody knows it.
No, it wasn't supposed to be a joke.
It's in the zeitgeist.
It wasn't supposed to be a joke. That was something that, all these people are getting together and doing this because they legitly feel.
Yeah.
Because the only ones who were part of the joke were Duke and Hawkeye.
Yeah.
They were the only two part of the joke. They started singing it as a joke, and then everybody else picked up on it outside as something that they wanted to do.
I agree with you with that, and also...
I'm going to say there's not much plot in this movie.
No, there's...
It's very slice of war, I guess.
Yeah.
That's why another reason why it works better as a TV show.
Yeah.
I also want to say, in regard to having trouble keeping faces to characters because of the TV show, at least Houlihan was easily recognizable.
Yeah, she's still
very
boring.
Sally Kellerman, did influence the look of Houlihan.
Yeah.
And, when they did choose it, they're like, okay, they're looking for another type, and then Loretta Swit came into it and went, okay, yeah, I'll do it. But Loretta Swit, who really put her foot down and did very, very, very well through the entirety of the 11 years and showed a growth of a human being.
Yeah, her character did evolve.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
There are several points when it did.
I would love to share this tidbit about what actually happens to Houlihan afterwards.
Yeah.
This is the best thing I've read.
I would love to know. I love to. Yeah.
So Houlihan.
Yeah.
In one of the later books, you find out that she has been widowed twice.
She's been
widowed twice. Yeah, it had another author, I guess, later on.
Fan fiction?
No, I guess, maybe, but they were published, so.
Yeah.
She was widowed twice, and both of her husbands died because of her bedroom antics.
Yeah. What? Did she strangle them?
She, I don't know, but she's the one who likes to be strangled.
Yeah.
I know, but...
So I don't know, but both of her husbands have died because of her bedroom antics. And so she becomes, for lack of a better word, a cult leader.
What?
That is mostly, most of her congregation are gay men.
What?
What? Yes. Okay, I'm still hung up on dying due to bedroom antics, and I'm going to be honest, I can think of worse ways to go.
Were they, like, really old?
I'm not even kidding. Go to the Wikipedia page and read it. It's all there.
Were they super elderly, and she was hoping to inherit their money?
I don't know. No, because apparently, according to this, she actually, like, cares about her congregation. Like, she's actually a really good cult leader.
Yeah.
And it's like a slight sort of Christianity type cult.
Yeah. I need to find these books.
Okay, what happened to her at the finale of the show?
She leaves.
Leaves, and she's the only one who did not. It wasn't quite clear exactly what she was doing.
She went. They actually say that. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me pull it up.
Good idea. Yeah.
I'm up.
Joss reads IMDb.
Joss reads Wikipedia.
Yeah.
That's off the beat.
It's there. Yeah. Hold on.
Before we do that one, there are the big differences. I mean, there's, you know, so many things about it. The swamp itself is a little bit different, but we do have characters that are not in the show at all. One of them being, I am not going to say the nickname, but, you know, Walter Wodowski.
Oh, my God.
And then, you know, you have Frank Burns, Father Mulcahy, who was very different than Bill Christopher's, and, you know, and many, many others. And then you have nicknames who are
racist?
Very, very bad.
Dr. Jones.
It says she returns to the U.S. to take a position in an army hospital.
Yeah. And, you know, but that was from the finale, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's in the finale, yep.
Oh. Yeah, it wasn't quite clear where she was going, though.
No, she just went to an army hospital.
Yeah.
How, okay, so wait. This is from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
In the series of novels co-written or ghostwritten by William E. Butterworth, Houlihan reappears twice widowed Margaret Houlihan Walkoff Wilson. Both husbands having expired on the nuptial bed due to excessive indulgence in her outstanding physical charms. Her career is taken a new direction as the God is Love in All Forms Christian Church Incorporated, a cult sect with the unusual distinction that its entire congregation consists of gay men. Most of these are extremely flamboyant, and the Reverend Mother herself is conspicuously glitzy and glittery. However, it appears that Margaret generally cares for her flock and is not merely shaking them down in the pursuit of material gain.
Okay.
Right, there you go, baby. Okay, that's what happens to Hot Lips.
Holy God.
When you started saying the name of the cult, I'm just like, wait, she's Love is One? She's the one who said, I can heal all of you, and then her congregation wouldn't let her go to the hospital when she had cancer.
Yeah, no, not that one.
And then she died and they mummified her.
Oh, God.
And then they bedazzled her.
No.
I mean, I guess that
what?
Yeah. That actually happened. That's a real thing. Yeah.
The Love is One cult. Lord. Yeah, I'll show you off my ears.
I just wanted to share
a bedazzled mummy.
I just love this, the thought in my head of Houlihan being in the middle of like a bunch of really flamboyant gay men and drag queens.
Yeah.
And she herself is dressed extremely flamboyantly, going, my loves.
She's the queen of queens.
And I just visual in my head of all that. I would love her to be like a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, you know, that's
where my brain has gone. I need this book. I need to know this.
I had to share that.
I love it.
She wouldn't tell me earlier what it was she found. She's just like, I found a thing about Hot Lips. I'm like, oh yeah, what? She's like, You wait.
You wait. I will tell you later.
Did they ever explain on the show how she got to be called Hot Lips? Because I couldn't
No, they did not, actually.
I think she just had the nickname from the get-go on the show.
She had the nickname and occasion, and actually the nickname kind of phases out after a few years with
it
her.
It does, yeah.
And occasionally, like, Hawkeye will say something like, can you get your Hot Lips over here so we can get, like, he'll throw it out there as, like, a get over here type situation. But she's really not really called that anymore later on in the show.
No, she purposely does that and then changes because she sees more, you know, more exposure. And while she's following the rules and has the officer of the day stuff and then goes over. And one of my favorite lines when her and Henry Blake are going back and forth. And, you know, they're like, I'm going to write a report to the general. And there's
are we talking about the show?
The show, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm going to write a report to the general. I'm going to do this. It's like, Houlihan, you've gone over my head so many times, I'm getting athlete's scalp. You know, it just, you know, like, what a flipping great line. And, I mean, the movie itself, I mean, where it does kind of, I'm not going to go over everything if we're okay with that.
That's fine. Because I mean, just, we there are key points that loose, annoyed me, if you like.
Yeah.
The kind of loose
spine
is that, you know, Houlihan shows up and she thinks everybody's disgraceful. And
And let's face it, to a certain extent, she's right.
Yeah.
Although, if she's picking on their, I don't know, clothes or whatever, I don't know, yeah, you're right.
It's
with them. She sees that okay. They guess they do work well, and then they fuck around and frank her and shit.
Oh, so yeah. So I mean, you have these doctors who have been drafted into this war. They show up. The first bit of antic is them stealing the car, which I think I thought that introduction was actually kind of funny.
It is really funny.
With Duke not knowing that Hawkeye is above him.
Yeah,
he's a captain.
Yeah,
and he's like, driver, like take me to where I need to be. And Hawkeye's like, okay, all
right,
and they just go, and then. They show up and then they start, you know, fucking around, like drinking martinis in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And then having the kid who's been stealing the methamphetamine.
Yeah. Because
it's a very throwaway line that.
Yeah.
So okay. There's a throwaway line over the. Over the intercom,
that someone's case of amphetamines has disappeared.
And it's happened, this is the third month in a row that this has disappeared.
That plot goes nowhere.
Yeah.
No, it's him. Which, he's the one who's been taking them.
Yeah, I mean, they drop him off at the doctor, and the doctor never
lets him back again.
What I thought
had happened there, now I could be wrong on this, what I thought had happened with Ho-John.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was the Korean military wanted to enlist him, and the doctors gave him something to raise his heart rate for the examination.
That is
so that
one
he,
thing that happened. That
that's
was an
what
actual,
I
yeah.
thought happened.
You're actually correct that that's what happened, and it's built off of an actual story that happened.
They're doing it to try to protect him from
getting
recruited.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of weird that they brought him to this random place.
Yeah.
I think they had to, but they gave him something so that he would.
Yeah.
Well, they had to, and also when it is, there's an episode, I believe it's episode two, where there was stuff that was being stolen in the camp, and it turns out it was Ho-John.
Was it?
And,
he
needed the money because they needed to relocate because his family lived originally where the camp is now. So because they had to relocate and they did that, the doctors felt bad because the swamp is actually where his bedroom was.
So they
had to do, they're like, this sucks. And if my memory is right, one of them... if it was Jones or a Trapper, one of those had a child that was his age or close to, and went, no, you're hanging with us. And much to Frank Burns' chagrin, you're like, I'm not going to have anybody in my tent. No, we're not doing that. And
I just love the fact that they made this kid the bartender.
Yeah, and now, once the war's over,
he could probably work as a bartender in a bar, and like he could probably open his own place.
Right.
17-year-old bartender. All set. Here you go. Yeah. Here's a martini. Yeah. Here's a gin and tonic.
He's actually good at it. He's really good.
He's a
When you start off, he's a mixologist now. When you start off, though, the evolution of him is when, you know, he's reading, he's learning to read from the Bible by Frank.
Give him a penthouse.
Oh, sorry, Chino. It's better to have pictures rather than read. Gotcha.
I had no clue what he was given either. The first thing the kid did was look down and go, can I go? Like, can I leave?
No. And it was that same magazine that they give to Painless later. It just clicked with me. Like, you know, Hawkeye, played by Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
I know he's been in a billion things, but I was trying to place what exactly, like, what it was. Like, every time I heard his voice, I was picturing him in this role, and I couldn't remember the fucking... He was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
He was Merrick.
Yes.
That, for whatever reason, I could not place it, so I've been scrolling through IMDb. The movie.
Oh, okay.
Not the show.
That's Anthony Stewart Head.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute.
He's the Giles character from the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and okay, I... That
bugged me, but I figured
out. Yeah, no, that kind of threw me for a moment, but now I can see it, because I did see the movie at one point in time.
It's honestly on Comet all the time.
And, you know, when you see these things that happen with, you know, the introduction of Houlihan, who is, you know, now the head nurse, and then, you know, how Frank and Houlihan get together.
Oh, okay. Can I say that I really was not expecting... a sex scene with Robert Duvall?
No.
Can I please say that that was actually slightly traumatizing for me?
It was? Just a little. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, just because it's like, okay, I think of Robert Duvall, I think of him in like his, like, Gone in 60 Seconds type character, where he's kind of like the old man grandpa.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You know? So seeing him have, like, rough, like
passionate
sex,
with
someone.
After they were talking about what rules and God and stuff,
like his character is so rigid, and then suddenly it's like I can't.
He's rigid.
That's right.
That is rigid.
And then suddenly it's like I can't get my zipper down.
Yeah.
And choke me harder.
Yeah.
And I'm like, say what now? And I'm listening to this, and I'm going, I don't want it.
Where you get that scene, you have Radar putting the mic under the tent. So, and I'm like,
because in the
lining of the show, you'd have that. What would happen was you'd have Klinger do it.
Yes.
Klinger would be that one. Okay, fine, let's do this. Or maybe
wouldn't be like Hawkeye.
No, or
remember the dummy Hawkeye rigged up to scare the fuck out of her.
Oh god, that was a great episode. Yeah, Margaret, who's that dummy you were with last night?
Oh my god,
that was a great one. He's on the podcast Mash Matters, the cook. It'll come to me later, but oh my god, I'm sorry, Jeff Maxwell. I apologize because I know you listen to the show, I don't know if he does, Igor. Yeah.
Ah.
No, but Igor would have been the one slipping it in, and then when you see it later on, the scene where they're all gathering around the radio and then listening in, and then
Hot Lips. Yeah, kiss my Hot Lips.
But when they do that, then the priest goes in, hey, what's everybody doing?
That would
have been Radar.
Is this the Bickersons? Yeah. I love that show.
I was like, oh no,
is he a virgin?
Yeah.
He's a priest.
Well, true, but I mean, to not know those are sex noises.
At the beginning, he really didn't, because he probably thought they were arguing.
Yeah.
And then he
with grunts?
Yeah.
Ugh. Like that?
Maybe he thought they were in a physical altercation.
I guess in a way. But it just choked me harder.
Yeah. Oh my god.
But hearing that though, it's like if you hear it, you couldn't. I couldn't hear Bill Christopher say that. Is this the Bickersons I love? Oh my, oh no.
Oh, I think I need to leave.
Yeah, I could kind of. That. It was easier to match that face with that character.
Yeah.
Just because he acted similar, mild mannered, kind of. Yeah. Cheapish.
Bill Christopher to me is Father Mulcahy. And it's do you remember the day we learned that he died?
No.
And I was very like it was 2016 and he died on New Year's Eve.
No. Aww.
And it was during that great celebrity 2015, the great celebrity purge.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when that happened and then we looked at it, I saw it on CNN and I just turned like, oh my god,
list of celebrities who died is one of those things, because that happened a lot.
Yeah, but I saw that he died, I'm like, what the fuck, Bill died? Damn it. You know, but it's just, my point is, that would have been radar going in and realizing,
oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Because radar was innocent.
Yeah. Innocent farm boy from Iowa.
Yeah,
because
there's
liked animals.
There's a fantastic scene in the show where Hawkeye has to deliver a baby of a Korean woman on a bus.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And then Radar's in the corner, and they said, oh, come on, you probably learned all about this in school. I must have been out sick that year.
Yeah.
And then she's screaming, and then he's screaming even more.
Yes.
You know, again, that cannot do well in this audio, but I mean, that's just like, the gel was better there. I mean, this just didn't seem right. And I'm but that's the one that threw me off. Like what is Radar doing?
Right? I thought the same thing. Yeah. I was like, no.
Yeah.
No.
What put is it down. Down.
Bad.
Yeah.
Bad. Yeah. Bad. No biscuit. Yeah. No biscuit. Yeah. No grape knee high.
Yeah. But there's a scene there in one of the early episodes of it where, you know, I think it's Trapper asked him to do that, saying, do this for me, Radar, or I'll sew up the hole in the nurse's shower tent. And Radar looks at him and he has no idea what you're doing. Like,
right,
very clearly
about.
He's like, oh, okay, I don't want you to do that. And then just moves on. And then there's another one where, it's a really funny alluding is, Trapper, Hawkeye, and Colonel Blake very clearly got a porno. And it is here. It's, you know, but I was like, Bud Lewis and Diane
and
What the Parrot Saw. Yeah. There's a sequel to it. Bud Lewis and Diane and what Lorraine Saw, whatever the hell it was. You know, they're like, wait, what? And then Radar has no, what is this? Oh, medical films. You'd be bored. Oh, okay. And just leaves.
Just leaves it. It's fine. It's not a stack film at all.
Yeah, but very clearly they got a porno, but they just don't get it. Like, it's just like, I mean, that's the one where you get this, and you clearly tell I really love the show. But let's see here. So they put the microphone down, and they get the why her nickname is Hot Lips.
Oh boy. And then, so much was said in that 5 minutes.
That she made in that she knew. Oh yeah, because she heard her voice echoing.
Okay,
and
the woman during the break, well, she can hear her own voice echoing, first off.
Right.
That was what tipped her off, because she could hear herself outside, which is pretty bad, because that just shows how loud she was.
Right.
Well, it's because they switched on the microphone
to
broadcast.
She was also being quite vocal.
Yeah.
So this lady liked to talk dirty.
Yeah.
She likes a lot of things, apparently. But then, like, the next day, her embarrassment was, like, palpable.
Yes.
You know, it was like, oh my god, everybody knows what happened. And then she's standing in line trying to get her oatmeal. And she's just throwing it everywhere, because every time somebody makes even the slightest comment, she jumps. And it was really well acted. I have to admit, it was really well done there, because I was like, I feel bad for this person.
And then Hawkeye's like doing
Hawkeye
the same
with
Frank.
Burns. What was she like?
Yeah.
That got me. As I had forgot, I knew what was going to happen with Burns when he got taken away. I remembered that because I saw this movie years ago. And, you know, I'm like, okay, he did that, but I was waiting for it. Funny enough, I watched this movie originally with my mom and dad.
Oh God!
But it was it was on TNT.
So it was edited out.
Heavily edited. Heavily edited out.
So it was the version that they put out, because they edited this version.
Yeah.
And like I said, they put it back into theaters.
Right.
To try to gain more like momentum for the show. And when they did that, they made it PG-13.
Yeah.
So
heavily edited, but hearing that and just kind of, what do you mean? What do you mean? What was she like? Did she moan? Did she feel?
Well, you know that.
You go, what happened, man? What happened? Frank, give me the details, buddy.
Give me the deets, bro.
Yeah. Come on, babe.
He calls everybody babe, too.
Yeah.
Baby? I thought it was just baby.
Baby, yeah. That's... Come on, baby. Okay. Let's do this. And like, it is
such a 60s thing.
Yeah, alluded to in an episode where Hawkeye does that excessively, and then Wayne Rogers' trapper goes, come on, you gotta lay that off.
Yeah,
I know.
The 60s are over, baby.
Yeah.
Right, but the war takes place in the 50s, so...
Yeah, but it's still the actors are, you know, but then, you know, now, what you also have, one of the parts that kind of got me, and I was thinking a lot about this, was... you know, and I grew up in mid-90s, and, you know, I had also a family that had a lot of gay panic, and a lot of people that had this, and yeah, for Painless, played by John Sheck.
Magic Dick.
The best equipped dentist in the army.
Magic Dick.
Who has people wanting to watch him shower.
The man has a magic dick.
Yeah. The dental Don Juan of Detroit.
Magic dick. I'm going to keep saying it because the man apparently has a magic dick.
He ends up having a massive like crisis because
he can't get it up one time.
Yeah.
See, it's like, homeboy, that happens.
If your magic dick is as big as it says, you don't have enough blood to keep it running all the time, bro. That's what happens.
Saying, yeah, enough blood. Yeah, God gave you a brain and a penis.
It can't
enough
run blood at the same to run time.
One at a time.
What comedian said that?
Robin Williams.
Okay. I want to say that I read that he was offered to come back, return for the show, but he felt that Painless was like one joke, so he didn't.
Right.
I mean, to be fair, he's kind of right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you put in there, and you just put in the chat, then he's like, oh, wow, he's a robot. And I'm like, ha!
Yes, that's because he was Yo-Yo in Holmes and Yo-Yo. I love that.
Does Holmes have a magic dick? Because
no, they probably should.
It might be pneumatic.
Wait, no, Holmes was the human.
Yeah.
So Shuck was Yo-Yo then.
Yeah.
Okay, so Yo-Yo has the magic dick.
Yeah.
We don't know.
You seem very upset about that.
What? No, I'm just saying it was a benign family-friendly show that lasted 13 episodes and had a reputation for
being
crappy.
Nothing in this world is ever benign and family-friendly if you let the audience know.
Let's say, technically, Firefly was benign. I wouldn't call it family-friendly, but it only lasted 13 episodes, too.
Classic, yeah. And, you know, now, when you have this whole thing, like, you know, when you have this, like, oh, I might be homosexual.
He read a book
that said that anybody, I want to know what book this is.
Some kind of Don Juan.
Yeah,
it's
if
a dangerous
you have
pastime
a,
that
if
reading.
You have a Don Juan type personality, then you are blatantly homosexual because you're trying to compensate for your urges.
Yeah.
I want to know where this book came from.
Or maybe you're just bi.
Or maybe.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But I don't just have a high sex drive.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I just think the whole problem was, oh no, the one time I couldn't get up means I'm turning. Or
meaning I'm no longer attracted to women, therefore I gotta love dick.
Right. Right, yeah.
And the thing I'm most afraid of is that they might love it.
And my immediate reaction, even before this was said, is like when he said he couldn't get up, I'm like, did you massage your prostate? Because that'll help.
And that wouldn't help his position any.
No, because honestly, that's This is true.
But I say it's the gross opinion he had about it. Right. Like, it wouldn't help him.
It wouldn't have helped. But this is honest to God true. You massage your prostate, you will get an erection.
Yeah.
It's because that's the male G-spot.
Yeah.
Can you take a nap and get a morning wood, or does that only work in the morning? I think with certain guys, it happens if the wind is in the right direction.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, it's...
Okay, we've only got about 30% control over what he does. it's just like, yeah, okay, I'm glad to see you're paying attention.
Oh, like that, John Dillerman, or whatever that show was from that, was it Denmark, or... I don't know, the guy with the giant uncontrollable
dick. Yeah, oh my god.
Oh god, I've heard of that.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah. Like, where's Waldo pajamas?
Yeah.
And his dick was out of control, and it was...
It was like taking out traffic or something.
I remember the day you showed me that.
Was that real?
Yeah, it was an internet thing. Yeah, I came home from work, and you're like...
Cover it on,
you're
like...
Yeah, you're like, sit down, you need to see this.
I had to see it, so do you. Get over here.
Pretty much was that, yeah.
If that's the case, then I need to show you guys the glow-in-the-dark condom scene with John Ritter.
The lightsabers.
Did I show it to you? Because that is...
A while back. I think you showed me this.
The best fucking videos I've ever seen in my life.
I just love the runaway fall over.
They run into each other because they're in the dark. It's great.
The thing is that I sort of a couple of things here at this point I wanted to get to. It's like I remember this like being in the 90s and being in there. Like if I was anyways different in pretty much the town I grew up in. You know, where it's like, oh, no,
if I... No, it was kind of like that, because my family was like that a little bit,
if I may be this, or if I may be... If I'm gay, I don't know if I am back, you know, like 10, 11 years old, panicking.
Oh, the calendar?
I haven't developed an identity yet.
Or calendar?
Yeah.
Your dad gave you the...
Oh, God, yes.
It's like, yeah, you haven't really come online as a human yet.
My dad figured out one point, I will admit one thing, and I don't care if this is on the internet... He figured out that I figured out how to watch the Spice Channel.
At one point, you know.
Well, I'll tell you the whole thing. I haven't told you one part of it.
Oh dear.
You know, but you know, where he figured out that I put it on the Spanish channel and turned the TV, I get scrambled porn. You know, and he's like, and he figured out that's why he's staying up late and figured out what to do. He's like, give me this lecture about how porn is bad. And then, you know, and then what
maybe
he did,
if you're
like,
a certain
but later on, and what he did is like, hey, you know, buddy, you want this card? He gave me this calendar of sports cars with very scantily clad women,
just
and then left me alone in my bedroom.
I can one up you, bro.
Yeah, and left me alone, and I'm like, and then years later, I'm like, why did you do that? He's like, you know what? Fuck, I wasn't thinking, man.
Well, we did have a lot of car stuff.
Your dad's truck?
Yeah. No, that was my dad. This was my stepdad.
Yeah.
They were so worried that my brother might have been gay that he was 13 and they got him his own subscription to Playboy.
Jesus.
And he had it for a year.
He just get a Victoria's Secret.
Okay, no, he had a full-blown Playboy. Like, they would come in the mail and they would have my stepdad's name on it and he would hand it to my brother and then walk away.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, no, granted, this is the same person who left like, porn out in like the family video cabinet and knew that I was watching it and didn't care.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
There's a reason why I know a lot of 80s porn. There's a reason why.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. And,
So that's why I said at least your dad gave you scantily clad women.
Yeah.
My brother got full on Playboy.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's you know, another one I'll tell off mic how he figured it out. It was like one of the funniest damn stories ever. That one is like, oh, your TV's messed up, and then he sat at the edge of the bed. I'm like, and then, you know, all of a sudden it unscrambled really quick, and then we couldn't look at each other for about 3 days.
Yeah.
To this day, I still have nightmares about, like, somebody turning on the TV after me and finding some kind of horrific porn on it that I wasn't necessarily even watching. It just happened to be there, and I just have to be like,
yeah.
And that's just not how the world works anymore. But I literally had this nightmare like 2 nights ago.
Well, that's because you turned on the iPad the other day and went, Joss, I saw what you were watching. And I was like, well, it was there. What can I say?
I was turning the iPad on to hand to our 7-year-old nephew.
Oh, no.
Okay? Wait a minute. No, we're not.
It's my iPad. I can do what I want with it.
Well, that's fine. Just, you know.
Yeah.
You know he plays with Tabby when he comes over.
I wasn't expecting him to be here.
That's why I have incognito.
It wasn't incognito, but I left it up.
Oh, gotcha.
It's just like, hey, whoa, hang on a second, buddy.
I didn't shut it off. I just, you know, shut the monitor part off. Right. And so when he turned it back on, it was there.
Gotcha. That's funny. Now, like, when you get all this in this whole scene, you know, with everything, and like, you got the Leonardo da Vinci style Last Supper.
Oh, my God.
I'm getting to it, but you know.
No, I mean, why? Before they get to it, he doesn't know how to kill himself, so he asked the doctors.
Suicide is painless.
Painless. The character painless. I see what you're doing.
Yeah, but I was gonna get to that point, but it's like where he comes in and it's like, you're like, oh yeah, I've decided I'm gonna kill myself. Okay, how do you plan to do it? Yeah.
I love that the priest comes to them and he's like, hey,
I can't assist.
So we got
something
a problem.
Like
yeah. Mortal sin. But I can't talk about it. And Hawkeye's just like, because it was in confession.
Yeah.
And you can't.
Yeah.
Right. So can you give me some context?
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
Yeah.
But.
Something about poker.
He said
he said Painless didn't care about a poker game. And that's how you know
something's wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah. Okay. So Painless and his magic dick. He's got 3 fiancés.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could think of when I found out about it was,
those pictures.
Is he in Utah?
All the characters are cheating on people, so who knows?
But that's honestly, and this is from what I know from like friends or whatever. That's actually pretty blatant in the military.
Yeah,
like it's not a surprise that people are cheating on each other in the military.
Yeah.
You are away from your loved ones for years upon years at a time. Sometimes,
right.
Especially during wartime. I'm not saying that it's condonable. I'm just saying that it happens.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact that it's 3 miles from the front, that is something that is very rampant.
Like I said before, you want to feel alive
because
you are in danger constantly.
Yeah,
the show showed that a lot more.
Like the
war itself was never really a factor in this movie.
No.
Oh, like when Houlihan and Hawkeye fool around in that bombed out house.
Yes.
Stuck there for the night and they're scared.
Yeah.
Yes, which is probably one of the most powerful episodes, bar none, of TV in my mind, you know. But where they have this, they're going to give him a black capsule, which is actually a sleeping pill, and he's in a coffin, and everybody coming by saying bye to him. And
I love Duke's reaction when he does the walk by, because he just looks at him and goes, and walks away. It's like, I can't deal with your fucking shenanigans.
The kid that Burns had yelled at earlier.
Yeah.
It's like trying to figure out, how old is he? He looks like 16. He's like 18. That's
right,
what I was just
He is straight up a kid.
I don't think he's actually 18. I think because he's a doctor. So I think he's old enough. Like, he's probably just out of med school. So he's probably med school.
23, 24?
Med school 8 years. So,
a waste of an education.
But he's probably like 26.
Yeah.
Like, but unless he went to school early, which this is the 50s, I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's anywhere. But
Doogie Howser.
Yeah, he's basically Doogie Howser, essentially.
I like how he doesn't know what to say, so he finally says, "What a waste of an education."
Yeah, right. Right. And, you know, when you have all this going on, and then, you know, but one of the parts I thought was really clever was Hawkeye explaining to Mulcahy, like, you know, he wants to him to grant absolution, but he can't grant absolution because he's committed suicide. But he's like, you'll be preventing a sin. It's a thought. It's not a sin yet. I'm like, now that's a clever trick.
I love Mulcahy's just like, I need to look this up.
Yeah.
It's like, you're making too much sense. I need to go look this up.
I need to look this up. And he's like, you do that. You look it up. He just leaves him there.
I'm just still hung up on the three fiancés thing. It's like
now I'm just thinking of Demon Slayer.
It's like, hold on, ladies, please. Right? I can only disappoint. Right? I'm like, I can only disappoint you one at a time.
Yeah.
Magic dick.
I just got that fold out. The fold.
It folds out.
A nice triptych.
It unrolls. It unrolls. And it just.
He's not having a wallet like, with him.
There it is.
He keeps the triptych by his bed.
Yeah, there it is. Magic dick. It becomes any shape you ever want. It curls into any position you could ever think of. So, that's what it does.
Is this meat wad? Now picture it. Dildo meat wad.
Well,
it's cartoon meatball.
It's puppetry of the penis.
I guess if that's what you want to call it.
Dildo meat wad.
That's what it does.
Then again, meat wad could only turn into like a hot dog and Abraham Lincoln samurai, so.
Nick is always going to think of him now as Magic Dick, and he's always forever etched in his brain.
Holmes and Magic Dick.
I'm just thinking, hey! Oh, it's an
eagle. Hey, look, it's got ridges now! Oh. For your pleasure.
It's like, hey, check this out. Elephant noise.
We do that in a lot of cartoons. It's an elephant. In fact, there's underwear. I almost bought you underwear. That was a...
oh, God.
This was going to be a gag gift, but it actually has an elephant underwear in the front.
Yeah. Okay, but that would be blatant false advertising.
Let's get back to the... I know the MASH TV show, I don't know if it's all lists, but you know when you see a list of like theme songs you didn't know have lyrics?
Yeah.
I had no idea that one had lyrics.
Yeah.
So when it started off, I'm like, I love this song. Wait, there's words?
Oh, yeah. No. And then, I was like, okay. And because suicide is painless. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I already knew about that one. Yeah.
I did not. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
So I thought I read that the composer and somebody's team had to write the lyrics.
I had that up on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he said, it just has to be called Suicide is Painless, and you write the words.
Yeah, that makes sense too, because it sounds like teen angst poetry.
Oh my God.
When they're playing it during the funeral scene.
In the trivia, the 14-year-old son of director Robert Altman, Mike Altman, wrote the lyrics to the theme song Suicide is Painless. Because of its inclusion in the subsequent television series, he continued to get residuals throughout its run and syndication.
Even though they didn't use the lyrics?
Because the composition.
Johnny Mandel. Yeah. Johnny Mandel, who is always in the credits.
His father was paid $75,000 for directing, but his son eventually made about $2 million in song royalties.
Jesus. Good for him.
Payments continuing from first syndication through the present day as the MASH series continues in syndication around the world.
Good for him. Wow. Honestly, good for him. That is someone who thought ahead and was like, I'll take royalties on this.
And sometimes taking royalties will screw you, but in that case, no.
I like how during the fake funeral, the guitarist is smiling when he sings the
lyrics. It's kind of the upbeat version of this suicide song.
And it's just like, it's because they all think this is fucking ridiculous. Oh,
what was it? It's like the happiest, like depressing song
ever. Freckles?
Freckles.
From Rony Kenshin?
Rony Kenshin.
Yeah.
Freckles is
apple
like,
pie, apple
it's like the song from Kenshin is like, and it's all about death.
Yeah.
And it's like
death and war and tragedy and loss.
But it's all peppy and happy because it's in Japanese and you have no idea what the fuck they're saying.
thing. And then it's like, oh.
You find out later, you're like, whoa.
That's how I felt when I read about the lyrics to this. But then I heard about the context of the scene.
Yeah.
Kind of comedic. And I was like, okay.
And I think it was kind of comedic and funnier. I'm like, okay, now I can see where it is. I already knew about the scene ahead of
time, but...
And you know, you see it, and then you know, when they get Lieutenant Dish to get in there.
That's why I said magic dick.
Yeah. Because I pressured her into
He kind of pressured her into sex, but as she's leaving, because she's going.
She's going home. Okay, he pressured her into it, but then, of course, she got into the room, she lifted the blanket,
I almost expected a glow.
Yeah. Like, I opened the suitcase and pulled
something. Exactly. I was expecting, like, a light bulb under the sheets. That's what I was expecting in this scene.
Expect a choir of angels.
And then the next day, she is so dazed that she can't even get her orders for leaving because she's remembering the night before.
I thought she was, like, traumatized.
No, because she leaves and she gets in the helicopter and she smiles.
Yeah.
Oh my. And that's why I was like, magic dick.
I hope he woke up in the middle of that.
I don't think he did. He was smiling
when he got up.
He did, but nobody mentions it at all. Like, it never happened. Like, he just had a really good dream. They asked how he slept, and he's like, oh, I slept like a baby. Has no recollection. Okay. So technically, she raped him.
Yeah.
Technically, yeah.
Did they tell him after?
No!
Because why else would he be cured of his suicidal-ness?
He had a great dream.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's working again.
Yeah. So
you're expecting things in this movie to make sense, and that's not kind of how some of this works.
No, and
just like when I had to step away before. Did we go over their trip to Japan yet?
Oh yeah,
no. About to get to that.
Okay,
because
I have some issues here.
Yeah,
I'll get into it.
There are quite a few issues here.
Yeah, they're assigned. Hawkeye and Trapper are assigned a temporary duty to the congressman's operate on the congressman's son and hopefully play some golf.
Yeah, congressman's son took some shrapnel from a grenade, and because you know the congressman is the congressman, he pulls strings and gets like the most talented
chest surgeon.
Yeah, the most decorated like surgeons to work on his son, and they take it as a chance to go to
how they look at the X-ray.
It's nowhere near his heart.
Like,
yeah,
it's nowhere near his heart. I know, but what are you gonna get to go play golf in Japan? Fair.
So they go, and instead of you know being a normal human being and saying, we're the surgeons here to work on that patient.
They don't even have their orders.
They're the pros from fucking Dover, and they're just assholes to everybody for no fucking reason.
Why Dover?
It's a golf thing, I guess. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know.
I'm just thinking Dover.
I want to know why the hospital was directly outside of a golf course.
I mean, doctors.
There was a golf course
right
there, and I'm like, wait, did they just decide to go golf? No, they're going to the hospital.
Would I?
Why?
And then they're just a couple of complete dickheads.
And my only logic on that one is because Japan was rebuilding so fast after World War II.
I guess that makes sense.
That's just the way it showed up.
Or it's just a really high-end fucking hospital and the doctors there just want to play golf on their off times.
Yeah. I don't know, they had the children's hospital they mentioned that was also a whorehouse.
And they do that unauthorized operation on an infant.
Right before they storm into this hospital and harass a poor like secretary and start trying to fence her with their umbrellas.
With an umbrella.
There is an interminably uncomfortable scene where the two of them are barking gibberish vaguely Japanese sounds at each other, and the whole time I'm sitting there, it was maybe 15 seconds. It felt like an hour.
I'm that driver.
I'm over there like, ha.
I legitimately was that driver going,
no, stop it.
Basically fucking army.
Yeah.
I was that driver the entire time. I was like, Jesus.
They're making the army look bad. It does.
Yeah. In Japan. In our group chat when I said, this is old-fashioned 1970 racism.
Yeah.
That's the scene I was watching because I was like cringing and like, Like, I was collapsing in on myself that whole thing. I'm like, oh, God, stop. Yeah.
The worst part is the captions say speaking Japanese.
No, it's like, no. Ours said, like, attempting.
Oh, at least yours said attempting. Yeah. Amazon says speaking Japanese.
And it should say gibberish.
And honestly, I'm sitting there, and at first I wasn't sure who was talking.
Yeah. So I was like, super ADR'd.
Right, I think so.
Sometimes there's shit, and I'm like, that's ADR'd. I don't... Their lips aren't matching.
Right. And then I'm trying to listen because I'm like, that's not Japanese. Yes, I don't understand.
She knows a little bit.
I know enough like to translate some of it, like some of the music lyrics I thought were really funny during that the one where the random English was in it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they're talking about this, and like I can pick up certain words. So I'm like,
why shoeshine boy with the
because I don't know.
Get the cool.
Yeah.
Get the cool shoeshine.
This is not the girls. I was like, that's not Japanese. I'm speaking Japanese. No. And then I see Donald Sutherland's lips moving, but it's not matching. And I'm like, the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
It's almost like a old timey speed racer joke.
Yes.
But I don't,
you're right.
I'm a speed racer. Did that start in the 60s?
I thought
Speed Racer was in the 70s, but I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Yeah. I will find out.
But I don't think they were intending to make a Speed Racer reference.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure they weren't.
No.
At least just use names of food, you know, right?
I'm going to speed through one scene here, this whole part, because this whole part was just all of a sudden like...
We got to treat a baby?
No.
We got a blackmail.
Whoever
the fuck he was.
67 to 68 for the show of Speed Racer. I don't know if that's for the English dub though.
Yeah.
English might have been later, but anyway.
They blackmail the guy with the prostitute there, and they come back and they have
entirely unnecessary.
Yeah.
And they already had him on the. They're all like, "You can't do shit without us, so we're gonna do this, and you're gonna let us."
Yeah.
Okay, they walk in, say, we're the surgeons requested for the congressman's son. Every single problem solved, they can operate on the kid and then go play golf and probably stick around for 2 or 3 days because he'll be grateful for it. Instead, they have to come in like fucking assholes.
You're wasting
my time here. I have time, I'm here to play golf, not actually do anything.
It's like your time would be better suited if you were actually just... And I understand that they don't want to be there. They're not actually they didn't enlist. They were drafted. I get that whole thing, but it's like play ball a little bit, and you'll be out of there, and you'll be done faster.
Yeah,
you'll be done faster, and you'll get to do what you want to do.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, they leave at the end. So,
and speaking with that, when they come in to do that, they go back there, and then General Hammond and Blake say, "Hey, let's get a football game together." And suddenly they have a field.
And suddenly footballs.
Yeah.
And it's like it's like, okay, the movie was losing me. Like I was still kind of around. Like I didn't like the sexual harassment-y bits, but I was kind of there for a good chunk of it. Then the whole thing in Japan just really soured me.
Yeah.
And then it turned to something I care about even less.
Football.
Sports.
Yeah.
I gotta say, though, what was the guy? General? Was he a general?
Brigadier General.
General Hammond,
Played by G. Wood?
G. Wood, yeah.
Is it always G?
Yeah.
Okay. He was also in Holmes and Yo-Yo as the police commissioner in the first episode.
Yeah.
So I just thought everyone should know that.
Oh.
Well, I'll kill that guy.
He's also the only other actor who showed up as the same character in the show.
The guy who played Trapper.
Yeah.
I kept trying to figure out where I knew him from.
Zelda, so did Hawkeye within this movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But I figured it out after I went to like IMDb and Wikipedia because he plays Ross and Monica's dad on Friends. And I didn't, and I'm like, why do I know him?
Yeah.
Why do I know him? Why do I know him? And then I was like, oh, it's Mr. Geller.
Yeah, it's really cool, man.
I was just
mustache is really unfortunate.
Yeah, he doesn't have a mustache on Friends, and he is so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He is the best part of when the parents show up, he is the best part.
The football game between the 407 7th and the 360 325th.
Where
There's more war crimes that happen here.
Where did they get the uniform?
Past the movie. Where did they get the pay? You know,
where did they get the football field?
Where did the field come from? Yeah. Like, there are questions.
How did they manage to get a neurosurgeon just to be their ringer?
Yeah.
Oh, because he knew of him.
Yeah.
Like, he knows this guy who plays for the NFL is also a neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
Bro, mad respect.
Yeah.
And now Houlihan is, like...
a ditzy cheerleader.
Literally their goddamn cheerleader at this point.
Oh!
Yeah.
It's like she's straight up just had a...
Yeah.
Like...
Now,
lobotomy almost.
Yeah, and I gotta bring up, well, there's an episode later on where they do the MASH Olympics. And they handle this situation much better. The two MASH units going against each other, and then one's gotta go with the other. Yeah, you remember this now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then Houlihan doesn't really want to be a part of it, and there's a very end where they turn the mess tent into a bowling alley. And, you know, Houlihan gets the winning strike.
That's cool.
And then finally does it, but there's a progress. But there's a progression of when you see Houlihan start to come into it and go, okay, you know, okay, now I get what this is, and then makes sense but suddenly you have Sally Kellerman going from hard ass to
victim to this. They just broke her down. It seems like they changed after she fucked Duke.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, well, yeah. Well, like, yeah, it's true. She's caught. Yeah.
She did, but then she fucked Duke.
Yeah.
Because Frank was taken away in a straitjacket, which I think might have been a bit much.
But then, like, she's coming out of the shower with Duke.
Oh.
And it's like.
No, they were in the swamp, and he was trying to sneak her out the back.
Yeah. My point is, she's fucking Duke now.
Yeah.
So while we have Magic Dick Dentist, we have Dumb Dick Surgeon, because his dick makes you dumb.
Wow.
He got the stupids.
Good God. What is up with these guys' penises? They need to, you know what?
They don't measure contest?
I don't know, but they need to be, like, studied medically.
Who's gonna study them themselves?
No.
That's how you get hairy palms.
It's a new STI. That's what it is.
It's the
stupid.
It's the idiot juice.
Oh my God! So they have like this whole.
It's nothing.
Yeah, like their plan is they're gonna bring out their ringer halfway through because they. I guess they know that they're crappy. They're a crappy team, so they want to lull the other opposition into a false sense of security.
Which honestly makes a lot of sense when you're doing betting and stuff.
Yeah.
But the problem is the other team also has a ringer, and they know it.
Yeah.
Which is why they drug him.
Yeah. Oh, that's what that was. I'm just like, somebody's sneaking a needle into his pants. Is this steroids?
Not only do they do that, they sneak the other team joints.
Yeah.
Because they're all smoking weed.
That's why they were suddenly falling over.
Yes, because they were all fucking stoned.
Yeah.
It was
okay. Now, one of the only jokes that made me laugh in this whole movie was their ringer being high as balls off of whatever they injected him with. And then the gunshot for the quarter, and he jumps up and runs and just knocks over the dude.
Ringer isn't a football player. No. He's a long distance runner.
Yeah.
He keeps saying how he's running the 400-meter dash, and then he's like, "No, you're playing football, you moron!" Like,
he hears the gunshot, he just gets up and takes out like three cheerleaders. That was the only real joke that I was sitting there and went, ha! Okay, you got me on that one.
But I love... Oh, there are so many little things in this, though, that, like, the announcement that the government has made marijuana illegal.
Marijuana is
more dangerous than alcohol, and I was just like, what year is this?
Yeah, I would say, really, did you just, you know, the only victim really with a lot of weed would be the bag of Doritos is gone.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
As long as you don't drive.
You're going to go to sleep.
Yeah, right.
Can't help but notice you hid the bag of Doritos on me.
I never opened it. It's in the cupboard. I just put it away.
Man. Now, with all this going on, not long after, they're just charging, they're heading home.
And the war doesn't matter at all in this movie about the war.
And there's a big difference, though, but it's at the very end. It's the
graphic.
But there's a great radar line there with, you know, the fact that, Blake turns to head to radar. Did Hawkeye steal that Jeep? No, it's the same Jeep he came in with. Oh.
Oh, that's okay. And, boom.
I'm like, okay, I'm like, that's a damn good button on that.
That was. That's a I love damn the fact good that they button. Never returned it.
Yeah.
they just changed the numbers.
Yeah.
They just kept it.
Yeah, and then Radar even said, yeah, I'll change the numbers on and I'll figure it out, you know. I'll figure it out later so it doesn't come back
to us. Also, at the very beginning, like when they steal the Jeep and the guy who basically tells him, especially like Hawkeye's like, yeah, I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, well, your driver's not ready yet. So go over there. He calls him a racist.
Yeah.
So for some, I thought that was actually kind of funny. But then when they steal the Jeep.
Yeah.
And he goes, go get my Jeep. And so the guys jump in and they blow a tire.
Yeah.
And then that guy.
And then they start fighting for no reason.
That guy just goes and throws a punch, and everybody just starts beating each other up. And I'm like, what is happening?
This is how this movie begins.
Everybody's just hogpiling and beat the fuck out of each other. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about fuck?
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, you have the knowledge on that one.
Well, I think I looked up the same thing before we started recording. Yeah. So go ahead.
So I guess it's the first time someone said fuck in a major motion picture, is it?
Yep, and they
edited it. And it was your boy, John Truck.
Yeah. Yep. they edited it out.
What?
Yep, they did. They edited it out because when they were trying to make this PG-13 friendly, they had to take out certain scenes, and that was one of them because, granted, the Motion Picture Association didn't have the full rules yet.
Right.
But
they removed the F-word in the football game.
Usually PG-13s have like a limited amount of fucks.
They're allowed one fuck. And I can actually go into it in detail if you'd like, but I'm not going to. But yeah, if with a PG-13 movie, there's a certain number of swears that you are allowed
to be given.
One fuck is allowed.
You can give one fuck.
There's only a certain number of like shits like that are allowed.
Two or three?
No, they said you can actually have quite a few.
Oh, five?
No, more than that.
I don't know. I was thinking of South Park.
There's a movie called Cuffs that came out in the 90s with Christian Slater. That it's a terrible movie. It's so bad. Oh, my God.
Remember,
it's so bad.
I remember.
It's Mila Jovovich, Christian Slater.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible rom-com-y movie. He's such a dick. Yeah. But it actually portrays how you're not allowed to say fuck more than once to keep it PG-13 because they actually bleep out the fucks after only one is let through.
Wow.
And it's done on purpose.
Yeah.
It's actually that part of the movie is actually the only funny part of the movie. Like like I said, otherwise it's fucking awful. The only reason I watched it is because Christian Slater was in it. Yeah. Because I had a thing for Christian Slater at the time, so I watched like every Christian Slater movie on the planet.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So
yeah, there's our historical moment.
And yeah.
You would think it would be shouted or something, but no, it's just kind of, he just mumbles it before
before rip your fucking head off.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, the things that were edited out was the arterial spurting from the neck of that patient.
Yep.
Yeah.
O'Houlihan in the shower, obviously, and the F word.
Yeah. I feel like did this movie, not counting like slurs, have like no swearing in it.
It really
not
didn't,
really.
Not that much.
Yeah. Did they save all their energy for? Well, I think fuck was improv.
Yeah.
But
and then it he gets. Really, well, I love how he says, "I'm gonna rip your fucking head off," and then gets his ass beat. So that part was actually kind of fun.
Yeah, and it really is like.
Where do you get a jersey that says 00?
Yeah.
Where did you get jerseys at all?
Yeah.
Who commissioned this?
Yeah.
69 is divine.
69 is divine. I gotta admit, I chuckled.
Yeah.
I totally did.
And there's a thing with that, like, this is number 7 in AFI, top 100 laps.
Where?
I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't get it. And a lot of stuff is kind of lost to time here.
It makes me wonder who, how old the person is who made this list.
Yeah.
And I admit I'm looking at it with today's sensibilities, and that's why I'm kind of like cringing. But
I guess,
for the time, I guess this was
kind
of par for the course.
And I think this would have been an unknown if it wasn't for the show.
Yes, I would not have cared for it. I don't care for it, but I probably would have hated it if it wasn't just if it wasn't, you know, oh, I can see the seeds of the show that I like.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this one, my dad despised this movie.
You think about it this way, though. It's like the first time, I think it might actually be the first time that a movie has spawned a TV show.
Yeah.
Because it happens so often now.
Yeah.
There are so many TV shows that are based on movies, like Mean Girls has a TV show now.
Right.
10 Things I Hate About You has a TV show.
Remember, like, the early 90s where all kinds of weird R-rated movies got softer, lighter cartoon versions?
Right. Yeah, that's different, though. The Rambo because they cartoon. Were like, they were the like RoboCop cartoon. Let's give these to children.
Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love the Beetlejuice cartoon.
And then when I was older,
I love the Beetlejuice movie, but the cartoon has a special place for me.
I loved it. Yeah. And then when I saw the movie, I was like so disappointed.
Yeah.
Yes. He's a bad guy, right?
Yeah. An incredible amount of puns in that.
The 90s was a special time.
Yeah, and I mean, with this one, I think older movies had.
I thought I read about some kind of series of medical movies that they had a spin-off TV show.
Yeah.
But I think they started as comics. Was it like Dr. Kildare or something?
No idea. Yeah.
I don't know, but I see MASH, the movie, compared to MASH, the show, and it's like the show is so much more iconic.
And speaking of like TV shows out of movies, this one kind of happened.
This one happened,
you know, backwards, where it had the movie, which was in the show. Show's great.
Yeah.
I saw something on Facebook today, and I really hope it's a hoax.
Mm.
Apparently, they're doing a Neverending Story TV show. It's just
is it cancel proof because it can't end?
I saw that, and I'm just like...
You don't need to. The movie is pretty close to the goddamn book.
All the way off with this shit. You didn't need the sequels either.
I was going to say, you made two extra movies that were unnecessary. Granted, Jonathan Brandis was in one of them.
The second movie had a couple of neat ideas.
Yes,
but
the third movie was with the main
character
who was the main guy from Free Willy.
And the Rockbiter's baby with the rock overalls.
Yes.
That was unnecessary. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah. No.
You didn't have to do that.
I want to play before we break to do our outro stuff. I want to play the entirety of one particular scene that I know my dad would absolutely love. It's 2 minutes and 21 seconds, but it shows why the show is superior. And yeah.
Oh, I just read that Casablanca, they made a show in 1955 that was canceled in 10 episodes.
Hey, what a shock.
Yeah.
That story was
what more can you do with that?
I mean, that story was told, unless it was like a series of vignettes of people in the bar or something.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The story of Casablanca was told. Leave
That's
it alone.
Why MASH is a better TV show.
It only needs the 2 hours that the movie is to tell the fucking story.
Yeah. Now, I want to play this one here, and I know it'll pick up if I play it from this one area.
Yeah.
Let's do this. So, just to give the context of this here. Klinger is coming into Henry Blake's office with a letter from his mom.
Is that it? Klinger, the rifle makes me nervous. Actually, the purse does too. Just sit down, take a load off your heels. What's your problem, which I may have tattooed on my forehead? That is a nail cough laser. What is it? A letter from my mother.
I remember this.
Dear son, you obviously haven't sent her a recent picture. I hate to bother you in the middle of a war, but I have some terrible news. Your father is very sick. If he knew I was writing to you, he'd be very angry. Fortunately for us, he's in a coma. Clear. Sir, please. We know your colonel has a good heart, and surely he'll let you come home for your father's funeral, or his 65th birthday, whichever comes first. I will close this letter now. son of my heart, because my tears are making the paper soggy and hard to write on. I'm your loving, aggravated, broken-hearted mother.
Kendrick grabs his file from his desk.
Father dying, right? Yes, sir.
Reads the file.
Father dying last year. Mother dying last year. Mother and father dying. Mother, father, and older sister dying. Mother dying and older sister pregnant. Older sister dying and mother pregnant. Younger sister pregnant and older sister dying. Here's an oldie but a goodie. Half of the family dying, other half pregnant. Clinger, aren't you ashamed of yourself? Yes, sir. I don't deserve to be in the army.
Wait, so someone being pregnant could get you a leave?
Maybe if it's if your own wife.
Yeah. If you're the you're the oldest son and one of the parents were gone.
Yeah, the last remaining boy.
If you one of the parents were gone and you had to go take care of them.
I don't think it works like that anymore.
No. No, but there's so many things with the show to me that are just so damn well done. And I mean, there's one scene that doesn't play well on audio, but I remember this very clearly because I was watching a TV show that was on Nickelodeon and really trying to laugh because one of my friends really liked it.
Mm.
And my dad's sitting there watching with me on his day off, and he's like, let me show you what real comedy is. And he pulls up the episode where there was a gunman who was a soldier in the operating room, has his rifle, and then wants to kill Winchester. And, you know, so he kidnaps somebody. Klinger finds out that he's from Ohio. And if he can get on there, then he can go back to Toledo and get out of the army. But the gunman's losing a lot of blood, and he's, like, trying to be the hero, and he's walking out of there, and his hands up, he goes, nobody move, nobody be the hero, I'll go take it for the team. The gunman's passed out in the hallway. nobody feel it. Okay, nobody go. Wait a minute, I'll be right back. And they run, okay, what is this? You know, what is this? I'm like, I must know more. And then my sense of comedy was born from there when I was 13. Mm. 26 so odd years later, it's still the same. Thank you, Dad. But that is MASH the movie. We're going to take a little break for ourselves.
Better than the crappy unauthorized parody MASH.
Oh, God, yeah.
About the dogs.
Yeah. And we'll take a break for ourselves, and we'll be right back. So, fantasy casting, and I just really say flat out, I really just say the actors on the show.
Just the show.
Although, yeah. I wouldn't want to see them do the things they did in this.
No.
God, no.
So, just replace the whole movie with the fucking show.
Yeah.
Just watch the show.
Yeah.
So,
maybe not season one, but...
Control-C, Control-V, yeah. Well done.
Yeah, it really...
It's an Excel sheet.
It really, really is. I mean, over 200-some-odd episodes, and I mean, they're not all winners, but I have seen them all so many times. I got so many scripts memorized, and many, many, many other things with it, but I love the show. And I would say really go back to our episode 33, I believe it was.
I thought you said 35, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it's 33. It's somewhere in the 30s that we did it with my dad, Kaz, and I. We did that when we broke down the finale of MASH. Mm-hmm. And you do it with us, and I mean, the two of us doing it. It's a really, really, really solid one. It was great for the two of us, for my dad and I, really just going through it. Kaz and I are on Team Potter.
Oh yeah,
and he's he's really heavily into Blake.
He's just kind of squishy and non-committal, don't know. He's Colonel Potter's
was great.
He seems so incompetent.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the point of
it. Yeah. I know, but yeah, like, how the hell did you get this far in the military?
Yeah.
It's just Colonel Potter's just amazing. It was needed,
and it was luck of the draw, and he was the most skilled. He was the most senior doctor. That was it.
Blake's the one who's, you know, it spun in, and there were no survivors. Yeah.
Yes. Which is still one of the saddest bits of TV of all time. Mm. You know, they're still there. But the interesting trivia with that is only two actors on the show knew what was going to happen.
Hmm. You know, I'm assuming Radar.
No. The only one, Alan Alden knew. Well, they say Gary Berghoff is the second one that knew because he was handed the script.
Yeah.
And then everyone in that room, when he went in and did that, like, they didn't tell anybody about that scene.
Yeah.
And, McClane Stevenson just fucked off.
Oh, and he tried to have a sitcom and it didn't work.
Well, he left for the day and just said, all right, we're done with that. And, you know, they said, we got one more scene, and then handed that script, and Gary Berghoff supposedly cried in his trailer for an hour.
Oh.
Just to do that. But the reaction later when they do that, and he says they're spun in, you know, it's spun in, the crash of the Sea of Japan, there were no survivors. It pans out, and everybody is just dumbfounded. That's in the real shock. Reaction.
I love when they, terrible when they do that, but I love when they do that because you get, like, legit reactions of your actors. That's the
real reaction.
They did that in How I Met Your Mother when Marshall's father died.
Right.
The lead up to the end, they had Jason Segel thinking that Lily was going to tell him that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And in actuality, she says that his father had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And they let the cameras roll to see how he would react to that. And he said, my dad's dead?
Yeah.
I'm not ready for this. And he burst into tears. And they kept it.
Yeah.
They did the same thing with This Is Us.
Yeah.
They didn't tell... They didn't tell Mandy Moore's character. They didn't tell her that she was going to walk in and see Milo. Can't say his last name. She was going to see him dead on the bed.
Yeah.
She was just expecting to walk into a room and have a reaction.
Yeah.
And they left him there. They let, like, okay, pretend you're dead.
Yeah.
And so he's laying on the bed dead. She walks in, she sees him, and she immediately bursts into tears.
Yeah.
And they kept it.
Yeah.
They did a close up on her with like an image of him in the background, like a
silhouette.
Not a silhouette, Florida? Like a no. It's a words are hard, man, and I'm sober. Reflection. It's a reflection of him laying in a bed, and it's like I love when they do that. It's Alien, the movie.
Yeah.
John Hurt and the alien popping out of his chest. Nobody in that room knew that this alien was going to be popping out of his chest.
Yeah.
And they did. And they got a legit reaction of all these people screaming their fucking heads off.
Yeah.
It's great.
And the drop in Die Hard.
Yes. Yeah. Alan Rickman's face.
Yeah.
Yes. These.
They told that he knew he was going to do it, but they didn't tell him.
When.
it's
great. Like, you get genuine reactions from people.
Or I think one of my favorite ones of these, and it's a little more lighthearted, is the, morons from Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. I love this series. Mm-hmm. And Serious MASH, there's so many things that are just great. And, you know, I would be remiss. My mom would be listening to this right now. All I gotta do, if I want her to laugh, all I gotta do is go, and did you spring a leak? You know, that beautiful, that was an improv line.
It's a water bed.
Yeah. There's an episode from one of the first seasons where they had a bomb that landed in the camp.
Oh.
And they had to figure out what happened. Turned out it was a propaganda bomb.
Oh.
But the, you know, they did that. They tried to, like, read a manual on how to disable it. And Trapper puts the stethoscope up to the bomb, and he looks at Hawkeye and goes, and Alan Alda improv, did you spring a leak?
Someone dropped the beat here.
Yeah, that is just great. I'd say with this movie, it's good. I want to suggest one, though, for next week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think one that we're all going to find funny.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's further down on the list. It's Damon Wayans and local celebrity Karen Parsons. Major Pain.
Oh God, I've seen it.
You're not thinking about your leg no more. Yeah. Or your hand or whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
It's been a very long time.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really remember anything
about
it. But I saw it.
One Tibby, Tibby, Tibby. Two Tibby, Tibby, Tibby. Yeah.
Oh my.
Still one I remember laughing hysterically. I can quote that one. So, Major Pain next week, and enjoy yourselves. Be good. Take care of yourself.
Magic Dick!